Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Daf Peites. We are holding on Peches Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. So her husband left town. She was informed of his passing. It turns out it was incorrect. In the interim, she had remarried. Mishnah says, we fine her. We penalize her. She must leave husband number two, let's call him Shimon, and cannot go back to husband number one. Tzricha get mizeh umizeh. Now why? Why would she need a get from either husband? Says the Gemara, Bishloima Marishon Tiboy get. I understand why Reuven has to issue a get, because she's really his wife. El Misheni Amai, but why would she need a get from Shimon? Znus ba'almuhu. It wasn't a relationship which qualifies as marriage. Why is a get needed? Let her just leave him and go back to Reuven and just leave him. Amar Avhuna. Sure, minat Torah, there's no need for a get. It's midrabbanan. Gezeirah, there's a concern, Shema Yom Ridi. Observers might conclude and say, Gireish zeh v'nasa zeh. They won't know the whole story. They won't know the whole background. They might say, look, Reuven divorced her. Shimon married her. Finimtzis, Eishes, Ish, Yoytze b'lo get. Look, an Eishes, Ish is just leaving her husband without a get. So on account of that concern, we require a get from Shimon. Yach, if that's the case, let's go on to the Sefer. Mishnah later on says, what happens as follows. Diktani. Amru lo meis balech, they inform her of her husband's passing. V'nizkacha. Instead of marrying Shimon, she just got engaged to Shimon. Just a kiddushin. V'achach ba'bala. Then husband shows up. U'meteres lachsa lo, she can go back to Reuven. We don't penalize her because she didn't actually interact with another man. It was just a kiddushin. It appears from the Losha in HaMishnah that in this case, Shimon will not issue a get. There's no need for a get. Well, Hasam Nami, there as well, if you're concerned about impressions and onlookers and observers and confusion, we should say that Shimon requires a get. Why Gireish Zeh? Perhaps the reason why she went to Shimon was because Reuven divorced her. That's what people are going to think. Reuven divorced, v'kidesh zeh, which allowed Shimon to be v'kadesh, and then suddenly she's leaving Shimon without a get. V'nimtzis eishes ish, and eishes ish is yoytze shlo beget, leaving her husband without a get. You're right, loylam ba'i get. Yeah, of course she needs a get from Shimon, because of this concern. You're 100% right. Yoch, if that's the case, if Shimon will give her a get, then you're running into another confusion. Nimtza zeh mechzik rishase. Mission is arsa. People will think, look, Shimon is giving her a get. Apparently, she was allowed to marry Shimon. Why? Because Reuven divorced her. Shimon married her. And now, look, Reuven is taking her back. He's remarrying her after she had already married somebody else. That's a problem. You're not allowed to do that. So by requiring a get from Shimon, you're actually generating more confusion. Says the Gemara, no, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yosi ben Kippur, following this Shita, who says, Domar minan esuin. If after Reuven divorces Rachel, Rachel goes and marries Shimon and marries him, not just Kiddushin, nesuin, then she leaves Shimon. Reuven can't remarry her, but that's only because it was minan nesuin, asura. She already married Shimon. So once you marry somebody else, you can't come back to Reuven. But bina erusin muteres, if she had only gotten engaged to Shimon, she can come back to Reuven. So in this case, where she was only niskadesh to Shimon, there's no harm done by Shimon giving her a get. Fine, people will think it was a valid kiddushin. Right? They'll unknowingly claim, they'll say, well, Reuven must have divorced her, she must have gotten engaged to Shimon, look, she's coming back to Reuven, that's fine. She's allowed to remarry Reuven after having just been engaged to Shimon. So bottom line is, sure, in this case, Shimon has to give her a get before she comes back to Reuven. Because not everybody realizes what happened. Not everybody knows that really she was always married to Reuven. They'll think she left Reuven, she married Shimon. So Shimon needs a get. Really? Hamid Litani Seifa. I'll prove to you that it's not so, that Shimon is not giving her a get, because the Seifa says, Afa Bishanasan La'achrin get. Even if this second fellow, Shimon, who engaged her, gives her a get, that get is null and void. It does not impact her status whatsoever. She can still marry a kohen. She's not a gerusha. What does that prove? Michlal. Apparently, the loy boy get, she's not in need of a get, because the boy get, if she would need a get from Shimon to address this misconception that we spoke about, amai loy poslam anakuna, why wouldn't that get impact her as per marrying a kohen? Rashi says even a reyach get, an impression of a get, has that effect. Clearly, there is no get from Shimon. Otherwise, she can't marry a kohen. Takes us back to the kasha. In the reisha, we say that there is a get from Shimon. And in the seifa, we don't need a get from Shimon now. Both these cases are almost identical. In the reisha, we have Rachel married to Reuven. Reuven went out of town. She went and she married Shimon. Reuven returns. We need a get from Shimon. People shouldn't think that she had married Shimon upon her divorce from Reuven. So suddenly she's leaving her husband. So we need a get from Shimon to clear the air. In the Seifa, we have a similar case, almost identical. Rachel was married to Reuven. Reuven left town. She went and she got engaged to Shimon. In this case, we say we have no qualms with Rachel just walking away from Shimon and going back to Reuven, because really she's Reuven's wife. What do you mean? Impressions, misunderstandings. You might think that she's actually engaged to Shimon, halachically engaged to Shimon. Why are you allowing her to leave him without a get? Ella rather says the Gemara, there's a difference. Seifa, and the Seifa where it was only a kedushin, Amri, people can just suggest that, you know, kiddushin toos havu. When Shimon did kiddushin, it was mistaken. It was based on a premise, on a condition which didn't really pan out. They'll attribute her leaving to Shimon to the fact that the kiddushin did not play out, and therefore get is not in place. Well, if so, Reisha Nami, in the first case where she married Shimon, she proceeded to the marriage state. There as well, people can just say, look, Amri. People say Nesui Tos Havu, the marriage was Tos. That's a good excuse, a good way to explain why she's just leaving Shimon without a get. So why do you need a get? Answers the Gemara, Kansur Rabbanan. Rabbanan fined her, they penalized her. She needs to go through the get process because she didn't investigate the matter thoroughly, right? And she went and she married Shimon, when reality was that Reuven and her husband were still around. Well, if that's the case, Seifa, Nami, in the next case with the Kiddushin, Nami Leknesu, so why don't we penalize her? She should go through the get process from Shimon. Answers the Gemara, there's a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa, because Reisha, of the Isur, and the Reisha, she didn't Isur. She actually interacted with Shimon as married. It's an Isur there. Kansua, therefore they penalized her. She has to go through the process of the get. Seifa, the Lay of the Isur, and the Seifa, there was merely a Kiddushin, and not more. There was no Isur done, like Kansua Rabban. Rabban said, you know what? Skip the get. There's no need. Let's hope for the best. People will not and get confused from that story. So bottom line is, her husband comes back, she leaves Shimon, and in the case of the Reisha, where she actually had married Shimon, she did an Isser, she's penalized on all sides, she has to leave Shimon, she has to leave Reuven, she doesn't get the Ksuba, Ein lo Ksuba, my time, or why? Why is she losing the Ksuba? Oh, my time, Tkinu lo Rabbanon Ksuba, why did Rabbanon established the ksuba altogether, that a person shouldn't, you know, just find it easy to let go of his wife. Marriage is commitment, responsibility. That's why we have ksuba, to reinforce the commitment to marriage. Well, in this case, we're not concerned that he takes the marriage lightly. Quite the contrary, we want him to get rid of, we want them to separate. So to encourage that unraveling of marriage, we suspend, we cancel the ksuba obligations. Furthermore, in love peiros, you can't reclaim the peiros that he ate. Vili mizonis, he doesn't have to pay her bills. Vili belois, even the item that she brought in that got worn out, she doesn't take back. Because all these are, you know, ksuba elements. And therefore, tanai ksuba, ksuba dami, the conditions, the elements within the ksuba are all packaged together with the ksuba, no supplemental components as well. Continues the Mishnah, not la mizeh mizeh, she actually received payments from either Reuven, her original husband, or Shimon, the new husband, she must return those payments. Pshita, of course, why would she keep them? Mahu the tema, perhaps I would think, given the tafsa, once she has it, we don't take it out, we don't require that she repays it, kamash blan, the chilish is yes. We penalize her to that extent. Havlad mamzer. Tanan hasa. Let's go over to a Mishnah in Maseches Terumos. So ideally, when you take teruma, it should be of the most superior quality. It shouldn't be teruma from the inferior portion of your granary. In fact, it's based on a pasuk, which we will see soon. So you meant to take the best and use that to be mighty the worst, rather than go the other way around. Choose the most inferior portion of your produce and do the truma on that. Ein termin min atomei al ator. Likewise, when it comes to product which is tamei and produce which is tahir, don't do the tamei. Take truma from the tamei and exempt it to her. Why? Rashi says, Mishum hefsed kain, because you're going to make the kohen lose. He can't actually use that truma properly. At most, he can use it as fuel, put it into his lamp. It's not the ideal truma. If anything, use tahir material to exempt the tummy material. And Tosis adds, it's based on the pasuk, because the pasuk speaks about separating the highest quality. Tummy isn't highest quality. It's not that useful. So according to Tosafos, it's actually based on a pasuk, which we will see soon. So again, we learned in the Mishnah, ein termin min atomei lator. If you have tevel, which is in need of separation of truma and maser, you take your tummy product and use that as the truma, that shouldn't be done. Vim taram, but if he should go ahead and do it, b'shoigeg, if it was by mistake, truma say truma, it holds. The truma is valid. Amazed that if he did it on purpose, loy osav leklum, it's worthless, null and void. To what extent is it cancelled? My loy osav leklum, what does this term mean? We have two approaches. Omar of Chizda, literally, loy osav leklum kal ika, it's worthless. Da filu hahi greva, greva means a measure, a mida, this portion that he actually designated as truma, even that, hadar litivli reverts to tevel, meaning null and void. The process never happened. So he has to redo it as though it never happened. Rav Nosson bar Rabbi Ishiya Amar, no, not to that extent. We want him to do it over, but you can't revoke the truma status of this product. Lo yosav leklum means lo sakin es hashiraim. He hasn't really accomplished much to fix the remnants, meaning they're not ro'i l'achila, they're not mutter at this point. He has to redo the truma properly, the way he meant to do it. Aval truma havi, but the item which was separated as truma is still truma. The chachamim don't have the ability to take truma and turn it into non-teruma. Apparently Rav Chisda disagrees, as we're going to see on Amud Beis. When the Beis Din sees fit to annul even an isra for the sake of preserving the integrity of the halachos and the Torah, such as in this case, we want to raise awareness of the importance of giving the best quality. So this is really just a safeguard to the Din HaTorah. In that case, the Chachamim have the ability to revoke Isser if it benefits the Torah. Interesting machlekes, which will be elaborated upon on Amud Beis. So again, if he takes from Tamei to Tor an inappropriate Hafrashas Truma, b'shoigig, leave it alone. But if he was negligent, then we penalize him and we deem the truma loy asav leklum worthless, null and void. To what extent? How far do we go? Rav Chizda says, nothing ever happened. Redo it. Rav Nosson, Rav Eishi says, redo it, but the original truma is still truma. It's just that you have to redo it properly this time. Now, conventional thinking would go, would follow Rav Nosson. I mean, why do you have to go to that extent and cancel the entire truma? Just make him do it again. That brings us to this kasha of what is the svar of Rav Chizda. How do we understand Rav Chizda? Rav Chizda lay omer kav nosson Rav Eishi. The reason why Rav Chizda did not follow Rav Nosson's approach is as follows. The amrus, have a truma, because if you'll allow the truma to stand, you know what might happen? He might just ignore us. He'll just move on. Zimnin de pasha, he might just neglect our instructions. V'lay mafresh, he won't redo the truma. Good is good, I'm fine. So therefore the Chacham said, it's not fine. It's null and void. You have tevil on your hands. And this will compel his compliance. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case. We have a kasha. A kasha from a Mishnah. Where we find that the Chacham did not cancel the entire truma. Maishna Mahadisnan, why is this different than the Mishnah? Hatoyrim kishus. He separated a kishus, a vegetable, say a cucumber, designated it as truma, but nimtzis mara, turns out bitter, barely edible, not really a proper truma. He separated an avatiach, a melon, but nimtzis surach, it turns out to be spoiled. Does the truma hold? Yes, truma, it holds, but you have to redo it. The yachsav reyitrim. It's a kashan of Chizda. He did a less than ideal teruma. He has to redo it, but you don't cancel the original teruma. And according to Rav Chizda, you're meant to cancel the teruma. The answer is, Shoigeg amezed karamis. You mean to ask from that Mishnah, which is a shoigeg. He didn't do it purposely. So in that case, we don't cancel the truma completely, as opposed to our Mishnah, where he was mafresh di tamei b'mezid. Here it's different. Explains the Gemara. What's the difference? Shogeg, if it was only b'shogeg, by accident, layovah di surah. He didn't realize that this thing was spoiled. It was an unknown. He didn't mean to do an isur. As opposed to mezid kava di surah. When he did it on purpose, it was an Isra that he was trying. He was neglecting the Din Torah. He purposely took something tummy, something the kohen can't really enjoy properly, and decided that will be the truma on my whole crop. He did an Isra. He neglected the Din Torah, and therefore we penalize him further. Now, how does that relate to the question of whether to cancel the truma completely or not? Explains Tosis beautifully. When you know he did it, amazing. This fellow has established himself as a non-complier. He's not complying with the Din Torah. So in this case, unless we actually nullify his truma, he won't redo it. You see, he's a non-conformist. The only way to get him to redo it is to say, well, this thing is null and void, and by default, he'll just go back and do his truma again, because he can't eat tevil. That's because he did an Isser and he showed his true colors. This fellow's a non-complier, and you have to go ahead and compel him to comply, as opposed to the fellow who was Teirim Kishus, turned out to be spoiled. Abatiach, turned out to be Saruach. That's not what he had in mind. He's a fine fellow. He's a conformist. What should he do? It turned out to be a spoiled item. So go ahead and redo it. And he'll listen to us. No reason to think he won't listen to us. So we're not compelled to take that drastic step of canceling the truma, nullifying what he did. Asks the Gemara, V'rami shogeg ha-shogeg. I'm going to have a kasha from two halachas regarding shegig. Ha'achaktani b'shegig truma se truma. By us, meaning the first Mishnah. Tamei antoher. If it was shegig, you leave it alone. You don't have to redo. Hasam, whereas by the kishus, which turned out to be spoiled, what does it say? Hasam katani truma v'yachsav reyitrim. Even if it was b'shegig, he must redo it. What's the difference? Answers the Gemara. You know, there are different levels of shegig. Hasam shegig karav l'mezit. True. It wasn't deliberate. He didn't do it willfully. He wasn't aware of the fact that this thing was spoiled, but you know what? It's in the neighborhood of mezit. The boy little bit ame, he should have tasted. He should have sampled the kishus before making a truma. There are many vegetables which turn out to be spoiled. He should have checked it out first. Although it was tevel, how can he taste it? So he says he should have taken the truma from that cucumber on itself as a sample and tasted it and used it for the rest. Or at least use the other cucumbers. You know, this would have been an indication of some sort that the crop is a healthy crop. So bottom line is, when it comes to a pure shogeg, we leave him alone. We don't fault him, but if it was shogeg karav l'mezid, then he has to redo it. But even Rav Chisda agrees that this is an exception to the rule. We don't cancel the truma status from the item that he was mafresh. There's no need to do that. This fellow is a fine fellow. He'll listen to us. He'll follow instructions and redo the truma, even if we don't resort to those drastic measures. Asks the Gemara, V'rami mezid amezid. Now we're going to have a kasha from two halachis regarding mezid. Hachak tani b'mezid la'asaklam. By us. Meaning by the halacha of tamei on the toher. If it was done b'mezid, la'iklam, nothing. Hasam tanan. We have another Mishnah which speaks about a mezid, and we don't say la'asaklam. This fellow has a flower pot, which is enoi nokav, unperforated, making the contents within it totally separated and detached from the earth around it, in which case it's not really considered grown from the ground, and it's not tevel min ha-Torah. It only needs truma min rabbanon, because it appears like something which grows out of the ground. He took truma from that item, which is not really tevel, on, meaning he used it to exempt, to address produce which grew in a perforated flower pot, which makes it technically halachically connected to the ground, which is considered tevel min ha-Torah, and needs to be addressed as tevel min ha-Torah. This fellow took the item which grew in the enoi nakav, which is not really proper tevel, and used it to address the separate truma on the tevel min ha-Torah. Truma, we let it stand. V'yachsav v'yitrim. And he has to redo it. There's a kashan of Chizda. Here, he knew what he was doing. It was b'mezid. Why do you just allow him to redo it? Why don't you force him to redo it by way of canceling his truma, which will force him, which will compel him to comply? Why is it different than the tummy and the tar? Answers the Gemara, there is a difference. Betray mani sayis. There it's two kalim. This type of flower pot. With the other flower pot. And if you'll explain it to him, and say, look, I know you didn't mean bad, but you should know. This is chayiv, this is pata. We'll sit down, we'll give him a shir. We'll explain it to him. He'll understand. He'll be receptive. Because it's something he can relate to. This is perforated, this isn't. We sit down and explain it to him. We tell him what he did wrong. He'll comply. He'll conform. He'll redo the truma without us standing on top of him and compelling. As opposed to bechadmon alitzayis. When it's tummy and tur, they both grew in the same pot, so to speak, in the same field, in the same circumstance. They're both products of the same environment. When you start explaining to him, well, this is tummy, this is tar, this was inappropriate, he'll just laugh you out of town. He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to be mekabel. He's not going to be receptive. It's the only way to get him to be compliant is to go ahead and nullify the truma, to be mevatel, to take what he did and cancel it. And this will compel him to go ahead and do his truma over again. Okay, let's stop for a second. So bottom line is we have several examples. Each one is a different halacha. We have the case of actual shaygig mamish. In that case, truma say truma, whether it was tar on tamei, etc. We have a case where it's somewhere in between, mistaken on purpose. He has to take some accountability. It was karev lemezit, such as in the case where it turned out to be spoiled. In this case, we say that according to all shitas, truma v'yachsa v'yitraim, the truma holds, but he has to redo it. As well as the case where it was bemezit, but it wasn't a question of quality, it was a question of potur on chayef. He took from a otzes she'enoy nokav, it has no hold, detached, it's not really chayef and truma minatera, and used that as truma for something which was grown in a perforated flower pot, which is chayef betruma. So although it was done on purpose, it was bemezit, but it was two kalim, so he'll accept when we tell him that that must be redone. So in both these cases, all shitas are in agreement. We let the truma stand, but he has to redo the truma again. But in a case where it was an outright mezid, he took tum and used it for tar. We have machlekes. If Chizah says, look, this fellow has shown his true colors, he's a non-conformist. Loyosav leklum means the bezin actually uproots the truma, sort of cancel what he did, and that will force him to redo it properly next time. Rinosman Reshi says we don't have to resort to such extreme practices. We let the truma stand, but he just has to redo it all over again. Continues the Gemara. Here comes another kash. According to that sheet, Domar Loyosav leklum means Lesakin Shirayim. He hasn't really accomplished what he wanted to do. The Shirayim, the leftovers, are not really mutter ba'achila. He has to redo truma to enable the shirayim ba'achila, but aval truma havi, but what he separated, even though it was tamei, is considered teruma. And Rashi says, va'koyin madlika miyad. What does the koyin do with truma tamei? It takes it and throws it into his oven, uses it as fuel. So basically, we're treating it as truma. Maishna madisnan, why is it different than the next Mishnah? Which speaks about this fellow mixing up products, min ha-nokav, al-she'ein nokav. This time he did it the other way. He took produce grown in atzus nokav, right? The flower pot was a hole. That product is tevel, chayev v'truma min ha-ter. He took truma from there to address al-she'ein nokav, to address product grown in a einoy nokav, which is not really chayev min ha-ter. So what's the halacha? It was from Chayiv on Potter. Truma say truma. The truma that he separated is treated as truma, even though the recipient, the beneficiary, the other flower pot which needed this truma, on whom this truma was taken, doesn't really need truma. Still, we consider this as proper truma. And Tosfos says, it just means you give it to the kohen. But of course, the Tosfos in the beginning says you give it to the kohen, but non-kohen can eat it as well. But then Tosfos says no. We treat it as proper truma, because after all, it was used to address the other flower pot, which is chayiv betruma midrabbanu. So in any case, the bottom line is we treat it as truma, even though it was an improperly separated truma. It wasn't properly done. It was from one type on the other, from chayv on potter, so it's teruma. But the kohen cannot eat it. Why can't he eat it yet? Because it's really technically tevel. Realize that this teruma isn't really teruma. It was taken to address, it was separated to address the other flower pot, which does not need teruma in a Torah. So technically, this item isn't really teruma, it's just plain tevel, so you can't really eat it yet. Truma u'maser m'makam achar. It has to be addressed. It's truma and maser obligations have to be addressed m'makam achar by taking some other item and considering it truma for this item. why wouldn't you separate from this item itself? Tosfos deals with that. He says, because we're going to do that, then the leftovers are going to be treated as regular chulin, and a non-kohen will eat it. We want to avoid that situation, because, you see, once he pegged it as truma, once he designated this whole amount as truma, we don't want to downgrade its status. Once it was given the shame truma, we leave it as such. And we want only a kohen to have it, but technically, since it's still tevel, you have to address it, you have to take truma from somewhere else on this thing. Clearly, the unsubstantiated truma, the truma which was separated unnecessarily, is not considered truma, right? We treat it as tevel. You have to address its truma, obligations. Mimakim acha. Right? If it's really truma, then you don't need to take off truma on truma, right? Apparently, we're not treating it as truma. So why is it different than our whole discussion with the tamei and the toyer? So he took from tamei and toyer. According to Rav Nosson, Rav Ishia, we would let the truma status stand, although he has to redo it. We penalize him, he has to redo it, but the fact is it remains truma. And over here, we don't treat it as truma, since it wasn't done properly. What's the difference? Big difference, says the Gemara. Shani Yacha, over here, when it's a question of quality, even if he took off something of inferior quality to address something of higher quality, although it was not properly done, it was inappropriate, but min ha-Torah, truma ma'al yosehi, it sticks. It's valid truma. And therefore, we don't revoke the truma status. Kedra b'iloy, as we find in the drasha from b'iloy, don't b'iloy, minay l'Torah min ha-Ro'a ala yofeh. How do we know that if a person chooses to take truma from something of inferior quality and use it to address something of higher quality? Shet truma, so truma, how do we know that it works? It's inappropriate, but how do you know that it sticks? Dechsev lo yisisu olav chet. The Pasuk spoke about taking the best quality and using it as truma. Don't deviate. Don't violate. Lo yisisu olav chet. Barim chemes chel bay mimenu. If you take the best, the chelev, the superior portion, and separate that as truma, you're doing well. You're avoiding chet. Meaning, otherwise, if you choose inferior quality produce for your truma, you have committed a chet. Now, v'im ein kodesh, suppose it wouldn't work. If one chooses the ra'ah, if one chooses the tameh, it wouldn't work. Nirsius chet lama. Why is it considered a chet? He hasn't really done anything. Mikan, we learn from Hila Turim mina ra'ah ala yafeh. Shetrumasaitrumah, apparently, taking ra'ah and addressing yafeh with it, although it's a chet, but it counts as truma. Asks Tosfos in Kedushin, he says, who says? Maybe it doesn't work. The chet is that he attempted. He was involved in trying to make truma ra'ah on yafeh. Maybe that's the chet. Tosfos says, look, the pasuk already spoke about taking the best. He meant to take the best. The pasukim earlier spoke about that, which clearly implies that otherwise he's not doing the ideal teruma. The proper way is taking the best. So why does the pasuk have to repeat itself? Don't do a chet. Make sure to do the best and avoid chet. The pasuk is telling you that even if he does not do the best, it will work. It will work. It will be a chet, but it will work. Okay, so bottom line is, a person is meant to separate the best, the toher, the yafeh. L'chadchil is meant to do that. What happens if it doesn't? So as we learned, if it's b'shegik, leave it alone. B'meizid, lo'yosav le'klum, you have two pshatim. Rav Nosson Reishi says, you have to redo it. But it's not to say that what you've already done should be revoked. It sticks, it holds. Whereas Rav Chizkiah says, if you want to really ensure that he complies going forward, is one way to accomplish that. nullify what he did. Revoke the Truma status. But how could the Chachamim do that? Amalei Rabbi Rav Chisda, l'didachtam, so according to you, who says, lo yasav lo klum, means, kol ikar. Whatever he did becomes null and void, afilu ahu greva. Even that measure, that portion that he designated as Truma, hadar latively reverts to tevel, null and void. My time, why was that? Gzeiro dilma pasha v'lei mafresh, because otherwise he might just ignore our instructions. So in order to preserve the halacha, to highlight the importance of doing truma from the best and the highest quality, you're going to go actually cancel teruma? Can you do that? Mika midi. Is it possible that dimidoi raisa havi truma, that there's a case where something can be minatura teruma, umishum dilma pasha, and due to this concern that he might deviate, af kor rabbanon lechulin, chachamim turned it into chulin, v'chi bezdin masnin, do bezdin have the ability to arrange, so masnin literally means like a tonight, a condition, to arrange, lakor davar minatura, to uproot an halacha? You know, Rashi points this out, to be machmir, sure. We find all over Shas, Chachamim, based on the Pasuk, Aslu Shmeres, Torah says, make a safeguard, make a fence around the Torah. Keep me two steps away to ensure the integrity of the Torah. So Chumrois, Isurim, sure. Gzeirus and Takanas, 100%. But you're making a kula, you're taking Truma and making it mutterly Israel, you're canceling Truma? Can they do that? Amaleis, Rav Chisda says, sure, absolutely. Va'ad lo tispura? Well, you don't hold on that? Va'tnan, doesn't this raya from our Mishnah? That's how it comes into our sugya. We have the Isha, who remarried. Her husband turned up. What does the Mishnah say? Va'tnan havlad mamzer mizeh umizeh. A child born from either husband. The new husband, or if she goes back to the old husband. The child born there as well as a mamzer. And we assume mamzer means literally he can marry a mamzeres. We treat him like a regular mamzer. Now, let's take it apart. Bishlamim is sheni mamzer. Surely the child born from Shimon is a mamzer. Because it was discovered that he had married an Ashes Ish, a married woman. So granted, that makes sense. Ela Marishan Amai. But if she returns to Reuven, the first husband, they have a child, you consider him a mamzer? Why? Ishtaihi. This woman, Rachel, is really his wife. Sure, he's required to divorce her, etc. But technically speaking, minat Torah, she still married him. V'Yisrael Malyu, the child born from this couple, is a proper Yisrael. Because Sharina Leib Mamzeres, you're allowing him to marry a mamzeres. You're applying a kula leniency. It's not just a chumrah. So what's the answer? Chachamim have the ability, when they see fit, to go ahead and even revoke a din Torah, even if it results in a leniency. If the purpose, if the plan, the objective, if the goal is to safeguard the din Torah, such as in the case of the Isha, be more careful. Look at these consequences that resulted from your carelessness. So in effect, we're creating a kula, we're treating him as a mamzer, allowed to marry mamzeres, all for the purpose of ensuring the integrity of Dinei Torah. But bottom line is, we have the ability to do that too, to make it kula, to be oikar davar min haTorah, and likewise in our case with the truma. We want to ensure compliance. We want to highlight the importance of doing truma properly. So in certain very specific limited circumstances, we will revoke the truma status if it serves to ensure compliance with Dinei Torah. That was Rav Chisda's point. Amalei. So Rav Nosson responds, not so fast. Hachi Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Asur b'mamzeres. You're assuming that this mamzer is treated like a regular mamzer? Can marry a mamzeres? No, Shmuel says no. He can't marry a mamzeres. Well, Machmer, we treat him as a mamzer with respect to marrying a Israelis. He can't do that, but he can't either marry a mamzeres. We don't apply a kula. Only chumra, not kula, b'chem ki asur ravin. Am Rav Yechon, the same thing. Asur ramzeres. Va'amai karli mamzer. Why do we call him a mamzer? Lo yisur bas Yisrael. He can't marry a regular Israelis. But of course, bezin will never. The oiker dover will never uproot a din Torah and apply a kula unmandated by Torah. Shalach Rav Chizda l'Rabba. So now it's Rav Chizda's turn to ask Rabba to prove his position. I'm going to prove that yes, Bezdin has that ability. So he sent a message to Rabba biyad through Rav Acha bar Rav Huna as follows: Ve'ein Bezdin masn davar la'kadav min haTorah. Says, really, they can't do that? They can't arrange to be oiker or dover minatoyra when necessary? Vatani, I'll bring you a raya from the following brayah. I said, they can. Again, the point is to ensure the integrity of Torah. Me'imasai odom yorish eshishtei ktana. So he's married to a ktana. The marriage is only midirabbanan. We're speaking that there was no father involved who can actually hand his daughter over to this fellow, which would generate a doiraisa marriage. So San's father, this girl is only niskadish and marries midirabbanan. Now she passes away and he would like to take her Yerusha. From what point onward is he entitled to her Yerusha? Now why would I think that he can't take her? What's the issue? She's his wife. At least midirabbanan. It's interesting. Rashi says, Rashi is off to the left here. Es ishtei ktana im meisav. She passed away. V'lei amrinan. And we should not be concerned. Shema asida hoisa lema'in. You see, a ketana could just walk away. Du miyun. So the concern is, look, maybe she would have left him. Vishtaka. Turns out the lav ishti havoi is not really his wife. Ubisema askinim. We're speaking without a father, so it was only the rabbanon. So she's still very little. There's always a concern that she may have walked away from him in the future. In which case, she was never really his wife, and he's not really entitled to a Yerusha. The kash. Tzarachin, the fact is, at this point, she was still his wife. Why would we be concerned with what she would have done theoretically? The fact is, she didn't walk away. She was married to him, midrabbanan, and now she passed away. Why can't he have you? Tosfos learns a little different than Rashi. He says, you see, if she's too much of a ketana, the divrei chachamim, if the chacham allowed his husband to inherit her properties, it would look like a joke. K'meichucha v'tilula, Tosfos says. You know, it would look like he's exploiting her. He's just taking advantage. He took this little girl, this rich girl, married her, so he can take her property away. So it doesn't look good. It doesn't present well, and that takes us back to the question. So from what point onward, at what level of maturity, how old must she be for us to consider this a proper marriage with respect to giving him the rights to her properties for Yerusha? We have three sheetes. B'shamu imrim, misha tamid b'kaymasa. So Rashi learns when she becomes a gdoila. She grows up, she has the age, she has the simoni gadlus. Tesis says this lashon tamid b'kamasa is not indicative of gadlus mamash. It means to say that she looks, she nearest gdeil k'tzas, she looks older and mature, not necessarily bas mitzvah yet, but she looks like somebody that has some das and then it looks legitimate. That's b'shamay. Even if she's still a ketana and she's young and innocent, but the fact that she went into the chuppah with him, that solidifies the marriage, that allows him to be yerush. Reb Lezer Omer Mishitiboil wants to interact as married, physically be yerusha umitamila. At that point, he gets all the privileges of a husband. He does yerusha. If he's a kohen umitamila, he can tend to her burial. Vayichelos beginu truma. She has something from him as well. He's a kohen. She can have his truma. The Gemara explains the three sheetes. B'shamu Omrim Mishatamid B'kemasa. Once she reaches a certain age or appears mature, really that's enough. Afagav Lo Nichsel Chuppah. Even if she hadn't really entered the Chuppah, which is a kasha, because even an adult who marries will not, the husband will not get Yerusha unless they're actually married. Erusin, engagement is not enough. So why would you allow it in this case before marriage? They mean to say, Mishatamid b'kamasa, v'tikonis l'chupa, according to Bishami, both conditions have to be met. She has to be old enough, or look old enough, and have chupa behind her as well. And Bishami turned to Beis Hillel as follows. Mishnah Tikkunis L'chupa. You maintain chupa is sufficient. No, we disagree. Amda b'kaymasa. If she's old enough, mahanya l'chupa, then chupa completes the process. V'loy, but if she's not old enough, she doesn't have the age or maturity, loy mahanya l'chupa, chupa does not complete the process, does not enable Yerush. So according to Beis Hillel, godless maturity, adulthood is not needed, even if she's a ketana, as long as she had chupa, the husband will be Yerush. According to Beis Shammah, you need more than that. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mishati Boil, that's enough. Vam Rabbi Elazar, what do you mean? Rabbi Elazar says to us later on in the Masechta, in Maas Ektana Klum, Ektana was engaged physically with her husband, does not have any value. So what does he mean? That it will enable Yerusha, we consider it as marriage. What does he mean? Ema, rather he means like this. Mishat Tagdil Viti Boil, both conditions have to be met. She has to turn a Gedoyla plus interact with her husband physically. Bottom line is, we have at least one Shita, Beis Hillel, who say that even a Ketana will allow her husband to get Yerusha. Ketana, Mias. At any rate, the Brisa says, Yerusha, this husband will get her Yerusha. Look, we're speaking about Midrabbanan. She's only married Midrabbanan, and you're giving her, you're giving him her properties. But look at this case. The Midrabbanan Seminat Torah, who's the Yerush? Avua Yerushla, her father, her family, her relatives get her property. Umidrabbanan Yerushla Baal. Look, the husband is getting your property. He's being Yerush. Apparently, and this is Rav Chisda speaking, I've proven my point. You see, as Rashi explains, what's the whole point? What was the purpose of allowing a Tana to marry? Something so unusual, as Rashi says. Typically, we're speaking about a Yusayma, right? She doesn't have a father to look after her, to keep her safe and secure. And therefore, Chacham said, "Shelo yinagu ba minag hefker." She shouldn't present a pitfall to others to ensure her spiritual safety. We will masakin that yes, you can do a nisun, you can marry even a ketana. This is a din midrabbanan to ensure the integrity of Yiddishkeit and ensure her safety. So there's a purpose. There's a constructive, purpose here. And what do we see? In order to facilitate this process, Chachamim allowed this husband, this pseudo-husband, to take her Yerusha. He's taking it away from her rightful heirs, from her relatives. Apparently, Beis Din had that ability. Chachamim can revoke a Din Torah when they see a need. Says the Gemara, we can't compare. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Monetary issues are different than Isurim. When it comes to finances, yes, Beis Din has that ability. Beis Din can expropriate property and possession, as we're going to see from the Pesukim. That's a different story than Truma or Mamzer, which are strictly Isur related. We don't find anywhere that the Chacham had that ability. But when it comes to finances, when it comes to Yerusha, Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker, the Hefker applied by Beis Din has validity. Dovar Yitzchak, Minayin, how do we know this? Minayin, Shefker, Beis Din, Hefker. The Hefker applied by Beis Din carries weight. Shenemar. Kola Shelo Yovel Shleisha Sayom. This was Ezra, a Sefer, declaring, when he found out that the Bnei Yisrael, many of them were married to non-Jewish women. He declared, whoever doesn't come to the grand community meeting within 3 days, ba'atzas asorim, 3 days' time, whoever doesn't show up, ba'atzas asorim v'askenim, a meeting called by the leaders, yechram kol rechushoy, we take away all his property, v'yibodil mekal ha'goyla, and he's excommunicated. They went ahead and they excommunicated and took away his possessions. Apparently, the Beis Din, the leaders, have that ability. Of course, it's not a free-for-all when they see a need to benefit the general community at large. They see a need to reappropriate, to reallocate possessions. But the Rambam says, when they're trying to defend a person who's being victimized, etc., etc., when there is a purpose, there's a goal. For the sake of the Klal Yisrael, a good, they can do that. Rabbi Elazar Omer Mahacha, a different raya, Eila HaNachlis, Asher Nichlu, Elazar HaKohen, Rishon Ben Nun. So these were the Nachlis the portions of Eretz Yisrael which were allocated by Elazar HaKohen, Yeshua Ben Nun, the Rashi Avos Lamatos Bnei Yisrael. The Rashi are the leaders, and the Avos are the forefathers, the parents. Why does the Pasuk mention Avos? V'chima inyan Roshim, why do we mention leaders, Eitzel Avos, by parents, two separate things. El Olamach to tell you as follows, they have equal ability. My Avos, just as a parent, Manchilim B'nei, parents can inherit to their children whichever way they see fit. They can rearrange their wills as they see fit. Manchilim lebneim kol mashiyirtu. Af Roshim, leaders of Klal Yisrael as well, have that ability. Manchilim esam kol mashiyirtu. When they see a need, when they see a purpose, l'toyelas, to benefit Klal Yisrael, they can rearrange and reallocate as they see fit. Hefker bezden hefker. Now, why does the pasuk, why does the Gemara bring two pesukim? Ezra and then the pasuk and Yeshua Yutes, so the Mefarshim, the Karen Ur explains there are two aspects to Hefker, Bezden, Hefker. Number one, that you can expropriate, you can remove, you can revoke ownership. That you see from the first Pasuk. But there's another element as well, they can reallocate, transfer, redistribute the Nechasim from Reuven to Shimon. How do you know they have that ability that you see from the second Pasuk? Elah HaNachles, HaShenichla Lazar, they're allocated, they're reappropriated as they saw fit. So bottom line is, when it comes to mammon, when it comes to finances, as the halacha of Yerusha, it takes on a new meaning. It's hefker bezden hefker. But when we apply that to isurim, it's not truma. This fellow is a mamzer. That's a chiddush, which in fact is Rav Chisda's position. But Rav Nosson disagrees. He says you don't find anywhere that bezden can go that far. Interesting machlokes. Tesis actually asks, he says, if Hefker Bezden Hefker works, so then by the Truma, we can just apply that as well. Look, this fellow took Truma from something tummy. We don't like what he did. So Rav Nosson says, we're forced to leave it in place. We can't just revoke Truma. Why not, says Tesis? Hefker Bezden Hefker. Make it ownerless. It's no longer yours. You know, retroactively, we'll say it was never yours, in which case you could not have made this truma. So he says, well, then going forward, it's Hefker as well. We want to force him to go ahead and take the truma and take off the truma again. Right? The fact is, we're forcing him to do it again. Well, if it's Hefker, then it's not his, then it doesn't work. That interesting shaila discussed by the Mefarshim. Rav Shimon Shkup talks about it. Many others. How does Hefker Bezden Hefker work? You see, according to Rav Nosson Rav Oshia, Bezden's ability to rearrange things only work in terms of finances, but not in terms of Yisurim. Right? They can make a Chumra, but they can't make a Kula. So then how can you ever make Hefka Bezden Hefka? Because this item belonged to Reuven. By taking it away from him, not only do you have the monetary aspect, per se, what happened to Loi Sigzo? You're stealing. So in every Hefka Bezden, is really contained two components. There's the monetary component, for which Bezden has the ability to tinker with, but then there's the Isser component as well. It's his item. He says, it's interdependent. It's intertwined. If it's not yours, then it's not Leisigzel. If financially we've addressed your ownership, it's no longer yours, so then the halacha falls by the wayside as well. The Isser of Leisigzel is not applicable. Beautiful word. Continues the Gemara. Okay, let's just go back to that discussion with the husband, with the Ketana. So he's Yerusher. So, that works because Hefker Bezden Hefker. What about Umitamilo? He's a Kohen. He takes care of her Kvura. Why? Vahacha, the Medeiraisa Aviyah Mitamilo. Here, Minatera, father takes care of her family, or whatever. They are her relatives. He's not really technically her relative. Umidirabonah Mitamilo. Midrabban, however, he takes care of her. Mitamilo Baal, right, this husband. How? How can the Chachamim allow him to become Tamei if Midaraisa, she's a total stranger? So you see that Bezden have the ability to revoke halachis when they see a need, when they see fit. He says, well, no, Mishun Nahavi lo meis mitzvah. The reason why he can take care of her because she's really an unattended mess. And even a kohen can become tamei to an unattended mace. Umi yave mace mitzvah. Why is she a mace mitzvah? Atanya. The Braisa describes a mace mitzvah as follows. Mace mitzvah means to be a very specific case. Ezo mace mitzvah. What is a mace mitzvah? Kol she'en lo kohen. There's nobody to take care of the mace. Kohen, he calls out the fellow who found him, or perhaps it's a reference to the dying person would call out, and others come to his help and to his assistance and bury him. Ain't a mes mitzvah. There's somebody to take care of him. That's not a mes mitzvah. But here, this katana, she has relatives galore. Why is it a mes mitzvah? Says him, no. Bottom line is, hachanami here as well, kivin dolo yarsila, because they're not getting her inheritance. Rather, the husband is, as we explained. So they think to themselves, look, let him take care of her. He's getting all that Yerusha, let him take care of her. Karya, when she calls out, they don't respond to her, so to speak. And it's considered a bona fide meis mitzvah, which allows this non-husband to become tamei in order to attend to her burial. What about the next halach in the brayse of Eichel is beginning truma? How can she have truma on account of him? She's not really married to him. Answer is, betruma derabbanon. We learned before, sometimes things are only chayiv and truma midrabbanon. So that type of truma, we feed to her because this marriage is midrabbanon, so the truma is midrabbanon. That's fine. But of course, truma midaraisa, she would not necessarily have access to. Okay, so what did we learn today? We spoke about this. Isha discovered that her husband is alive and well. She has to leave the current husband, let's call him Shimon. And she cannot remarry or re-engage Reuven as well. She loses all ksuba rights, the ksuba itself, and all its associated claims. What else happens as a result? The child is a mamzer. And that took us into the discussion regarding Hafrasha's truma. Ideally, you're meant to take the best, biggest and the best, the tar, the yafe. What if he neglects the tar? Instead, he does the tamei on the tahar. So, if it's a bishoygeg, of course, the truma holds. As we learned in the Gemara, the chatchil, he meant to take the best, but of course, it works, even though it was not the best. But if it's something called karv lemezit, something, you know, in between karv and shoygeg and mezit, it was something which turned out to be spoiled, which she could have, guarded against, then the truma takes hold, but he has to redo it properly, and this is agreed upon by all shittas. Likewise, if it was one type of product grown in a atas she'enoi nakov, which is not really in need of truma min haTorah, he took from there on the nakov, the truma holds, but he has to redo it, and we're pretty sure that he'll comply. There's no reason we should think otherwise. But if he did bemaze it, so he took a poor quality product and used it as truma on the higher quality product, and he did it bemaze it, this fellow is a non-conformist, says Rav Chisda. In order to compel compliance going forward, we say la'asav la'kum, which means the entire truma that he did is null and void. And as Rav Chisda maintains, yes, Bezdin has that ability. They can be oikar dover min haTorah in order to ensure proper compliance with halachas of Torah. We see that over here. We see that in the Mishnah, where we consider the child, even from Reuven, the first husband, as a mamzer, which allows him to marry a mamzeres, and this is to ensure the integrity of the halachas of Torah, to ensure compliance, and encourage the Isha to be careful and conscientious. The same thing with the husband marrying the Ketana to ensure her safety. We consider that a proper marriage. And he, in fact, could be Yerush, her Yerusha, and he gets priority over her relatives. Rav Nosson Rav Eishia disagrees. He says, look, sure, when it comes to monetary issues, Hefker Bezen Hefker. When it comes to doing a chumrah, yes, Bezen can add chumras, but here we're speaking about revoking a truma status, which in effect is a kula. Who's to say they have that ability? And therefore, contrary to Rav Eishia, if he did the tamei on the Torah, of course he has to redo it, but still, the actual truma that he did holds up. It is truma v'yachsa v'yitrum. That took us into the discussion about Hefker Bezen Hefker, which, as we said, according to all shittas, works because we learn from the psukim that when it comes to monetary issues, Hashem grants the Bezdin and the leaders the ability and the wherewithal to go ahead and redirect the properties amongst Klal Yisrael as they see fit for the greater good of Klal Yisrael. However, when it comes to Isurim, well, to add Isurim to be Machmer, to make Zeros and Takanos, Siogim and Chumrim, sure, they do that all the time, but to actually make a Kula so that in a roundabout way it will bring about stronger compliance with Dinei HaTorah. That's a chiddush presented by Rav Chisda, which at this point we have not yet brought a raya to support. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.